Hey there, foreigners. This is Rohit from BreakingTheBorders.com, home of the ambitious immigrants. Today's guest, Steve, is here to teach us how to stand out in a crowded app market. Steve is the founder of app marketing agency Runway, and he also hosts a podcast called App Masters, which is dedicated to all aspects of app development. Unlike here, we are just going to talk about marketing today. Steve, welcome.
Thank you, Rohit. That was awesome.
What was the first assignment you ever got as a marketing agency?
Yeah, we got an assignment that a friend of mine listened to the show, the podcast. He came to me for marketing help for an app launch. And I said, you know, I don't really know much. I'm still learning. I started the podcast to learn from people. But he said, look, we trust you. Let's do it. And at the time, I didn't know what to do. Like, I didn't know from PR, marketing perspective. I knew some things. And so we pitched every single person that we possibly could think of. And it was more in the educational space. So we were targeting more that mom blogger space. But we didn't do as well as I thought we could do, right? Like, now, if you came to me, I think we could do a lot better. But at the time, it was just, we got on maybe the iPhone mom. We ended up getting on some big media outlets, but they really were not happy because some of the bigger media outlets took some time to publish. But at the end of our agreement, they really were not happy with some of the results. Like, Steve, you know, we paid you a good amount of money. What happened? I said, well, you know, I told you I'm still learning and I'm still trying to test out a couple of things. We did okay, but I, to the extent that we probably could do now, like, that okay would have been a pretty big failure for us if you're talking to us today.
Yeah, absolutely. But how did you get the courage to get started when you knew that you were not, when it was still ambiguous whether or not you're going to make it?
You know what? I've always been someone who wants to learn. So I thought of it as, look, here's the strategies I know well. And so part of our agreement was, we are going to help you with content marketing. That's my background. And so we ended up creating an infographic for them. So I guess to answer your question in a short way without telling you a bunch of stories is, I went to what I knew best, which was content marketing. I said, look, we're going to create content marketing strategy around your app launch, and here's how we're going to do it. Obviously, when they came to me, they still wanted to be on these big publications, but that's what I knew. I said, look, that this is what I know. I don't know much about PR at the time. And so I went back to what I knew. And luckily for me, I had built up this audience who trusted me. And so the guy who did end up hiring me, he said, look, I trust you. You're not going to screw me over and you're going to do the best you can. And so that helped out in giving me the courage to actually step forward and go ahead and do it.
So you wanted to use the techniques that you used in the content world and apply it to the app world, which seemingly didn't work very well when you first started.
When I first started, no, it worked okay, but we could do a lot better now.
I see. So what is an example of something that you do very well now? You talked about a time when you had just on a weekend.
Yeah.
What happened on that weekend?
Yeah. So it was a great weekend. It started Friday, and then I got a text from my client on Saturday saying, what happened here? So we did over 100,000 downloads just over a weekend, and it was a great time. So everything hit perfectly, but it's a strategy that I've talked about in the past where you do a pay to free campaign. And that's what we did here, where we made one of his paid apps free. We pitched a big site like App Advice and we gave him the exclusive, and it worked out perfectly because the next day, I think we gave BGR the exclusive and App Advice covered it the next day. So literally, you know, it was a wave and then a bigger wave that happened after. And we did 100,000 downloads in just that weekend. So
what app was that?
It was called Loose Leaf was the app.
Loose as in loose leaf?
Yeah, loose, okay. Like not tight, and then leaf as in, yeah, falling from the tree.
Okay, bring your ideas together. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, it's a great app.
Yeah. What does it do?
So it's sort of like a brainstorming tool. So it's rather than sketching on pen and paper, if you wanted to sketch on the iPad, you can do that. The really cool feature is you can take pictures. So you can take pictures within the iPad, and then let's say you're considering what to put on a living room. Like, you know, Rohit, I saw your beautiful painting in the background. You're like, maybe if that was empty and you wanted to test out different paintings, well, you can then, if you have images of these paintings, you can then put it, take a picture of your room and then put all these pictures or something like that on there. Or if you have a couch and your wife is like, hey, what do you think about this couch? She sent it to me. I can then crop just the couch out
and put it into a living room. So it's a nice little crop in. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a brainstorming tool. I see the app here. I'm interested in downloading and checking it out. So we are going to learn today how to get from get there, right? So get to the 100,000 downloads in it, or have the strategies to be able to attain that level of success with the PR. But the real reason you are here is because you were born in Burma. Tell us about it. When did you move to the U.S.?
Yeah, so Burma, Myanmar. I was born there. We moved out here when I was six in 1986. And it was, my parents wanted to leave the military dictatorship. So we moved all the way to Union City, California. And I grew up in Fremont, California. But I think it's amazing to see, you know, coming from that immigrant background, this is why I really resonate with your show. As well as, I think for me, some of the things I really remember from my childhood are the fact that my dad used to work two jobs just to make sure that everything was good. I never felt like we were, you know, ever in trouble of not having food or not taking care of, but he used to work two jobs at the time. And I remember, like, I could barely see him, you know, like he came home and my uncle was living with us at the time. So he took care of us at night. But my mom worked the swing shift, like the graveyard shift, so that she can take us to school every day. My dad would then pick us up. And then seeing that energy and that hustle that was embedded in him to like continue working so hard for his family is the hustle that I continue to have. Like, you know, like I bring that into my life. So when I was in corporate life in 2013, like I was doing the podcast on the side and that was the hustle, you know, like I would stay up, record any indie developer out there who was willing to record with me late at night. I was like, perfect. I love these guys because I got to record the podcast late at night and that hustle was embedded. And I think also one other thing was he used to read a lot. And so my uncles would come to him to be like, hey, how do you say this in English? Or can you write this letter for me? And he would really work on his pronunciation. And so part of me when I was growing up too was like, all right, well, how do I make sure I sound very professional? How do I have this cadence? How do I really work on this craft? Because I love hearing people talk and I love how they pause in certain situations, how they take their cadences up and down. And I'm very fascinated by that. And I think a lot of what my dad was doing early on in my childhood through that immigrant lifestyle really was embedded into me.
Yeah. So when you look back on those childhood days, at that time you felt like you were completely satisfied with your family life and everything. Looking back, do you see that it was not as rosy? Maybe it was difficult times and your parents made it not feel like that it was?
You know what? Maybe it was that because they never talked about it. I do just remember they never said like, hey, we're going through a rough time. I knew we didn't have like a whole lot of extra money to spend. And so for me, I never said, hey, I want this, I want that. And so anytime I did say, like, I remember at the time, like, the Sega Genesis was coming out. I think Nintendo 64 was coming out at the same time. And my brother got both of them, both systems. And I was like, what are you wasting money for? Like, this is ridiculous. And so I've always been the frugal type because I knew that when we were growing up, like, we didn't have a whole lot of money, but we were comfortable. And I think the difficult parts were, it didn't even seem difficult at the time because you're a kid, you're fun. It was fun, right? Like we used to live in a house where it was like four different families before we could finally afford to buy our own house. And it was one family per bedroom pretty much. But at the time I look back on it, it wasn't like, hey, this is really crowded or hey, this sucks. It was just like, okay, this seems fun. Like all my cousins are right here and we're all growing up together. And so looking back on it, I had a lot of fun. I think it was as a kid, as a parent now, I tend to forget that sometimes you're a kid and you don't know that much. And so anything really is fun. And we tend to like, you know, I tend to try to overspoil my kids knowing how I grew up. And I think that's the one thing I don't want my kids to lose is that fire inside. Because I saw the hardships, even though maybe at the time I didn't see them as hardships, but I saw that. And now, I think that's what, there's a fire in my belly because of what I saw early on in my life.
Yeah. Definitely, when I look back on some of the childhood days, I feel a similar way as well. Looking back, it seems like a scary time. But at that time, I was very happy, right? So I didn't know any better. I guess not knowing better is also a blessing in some ways.
Yeah, completely. What's one of your stories? I don't know if you ever highlighted that, your story, in your podcast. But I'm sure the listeners are dying to know.
One of the I can think of one of the as a kid, there used to be a grocery shop in front of very close to my home, and every week almost we used to go to that grocery store and shoplift one or two chocolates every week, right? And that was so much fun. That was something that I would look forward to every week. Looking back, I am so scared of it, you know? I'm like, so that is not the emotion at that time. I was never scared of doing that, for example. I was so excited, so much fun, right? So I was reflecting on how the emotion changed for the same event from childhood to adulthood.
Oh, that's interesting. I love that story.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So we can go on to the steps that you laid out here. So the first one that I have is track your emails. What is tracking your emails mean?
Yeah. So I'm going to talk to you about how you approach the press. How do you really tell a good story when you're about to launch? Because that's what most people ask me is like, hey, I'm about to launch in a month. And one of the things I say is, you know, you have to have the tools, right? I think it's part art and it's part science. And the science part is you got to have the tools. And so I recommend using Yesware.
Just to clarify, we are talking specifically about getting most PR for your app during the launch phase.
Yes.
Okay.
So
keep going.
Yesware and BananaTag are two tools that I really like. They're Gmail plugins. They work with Outlook, I believe, as well. And so what they allow you to do is track your emails. So essentially, you know, I did this where one of my apps, it was a camera app called OSnap, and I got it featured by the Next Web, but I was testing out different subject lines. And if I didn't have BananaTag at the time to test out different subject lines, I wouldn't have never known. So I used to say, like, when I was pitching the press, I said, it's a perfect app for selfies. So I thought that's what it was. You can tap anywhere to take a picture. It's perfect for selfies. That's what I thought that would be the most catchiest one of the subject lines. And nobody, like literally nobody, opened that email. And so I said, all right, I'm going to delay the app launch for a week. And I'm going to try a different subject line. So I said, okay, OSnap, tap anywhere to take a pic. And I went straight to why I built the app. Like, that's essentially why I built it. And like almost everybody opened it. So I emailed Tips at TechCrunch. I emailed the Next Web. I emailed everybody that I could possibly figure out, like grab their email addresses. And I
so who are you emailing? Like your friends or individual people or people on your mailing list or organizations?
The reporters. I was going straight to the reporters.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I always recommend, sometimes reporters are really busy. They won't, I say, what subject line did you use? I don't know. Did they open the email? I don't know. Because most people come to me and say, hey, look, when I launched my other app, I emailed like 20 reporters and nobody ever got back to me. It's like, did they open your email? I don't know. But then, like, if you know, at least you can test out different subject lines to say, oh, maybe that wasn't the right hook for it. Let me try a different one. So with OSnap, I delayed the launch of the app a week just so I can try out different subject lines. And one finally hit for me. So I said, you know, at least track your email so you know if you're getting anywhere with the emails that you're sending out.
I see. So you track the open rates and you also track the click rates. And
yes.
The tool I use is, I send out emails for guests, right, to be on my show. And I use this tool called Sidekick. And I'll know whether they opened my email or not. And I find it very helpful.
Yeah, like Sidekick's another popular one too.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're not emailing the same people again and again, or are you? Or are you testing on different people?
At the time, I emailed the same people and I noticed that they didn't open it, so it didn't really bother me. And I emailed the same people again with a different one. Now, if you're talking to me, I would say email some of your friends, email smaller publications. So don't email TechCrunch with the test. Email smaller publications first to do a quick A-B test and then go out to the bigger publications with the winning subject line.
Okay, so let's talk about the subject line more.
Yeah.
What is a good subject line?
I think, so there's a couple of ones, and I kind of mentioned a few to you already, but one that you can personalize as much as possible. This is something I've been testing out a lot, and we were able to get on Product Hunt for a client. We were able to possibly get on Lifehacker for a client. And the one thing for a subject line is if I'm able to personalize it. So, you know, Rohit, when I emailed you, I said, hey, look, I really liked your Andrew Warner interview. And I didn't say anything about anything else. I just said, look, that's how I personalized it, because I heard the interview and I said, I'm going to reach out to this guy because we're both in the Bay Area and I'd just love to connect. So that one works as like a charm. So if you're able to look on the person's social, if you're to reach out to a reporter, look on their Instagram, look on their Twitter, figure out what they like, and then make your pitch very tailored to them to personalize it, that's going to work out. Another one is to use different products that are very popular. So one example that we're able to get press for is the subject line that we used was Candy Crush meets Farmville. And then we went into our pitch. And so from a reporter's perspective, when I say that, you're able to know exactly what the app does, right? And so it's product A meets product B, or product A, that's a very popular product for a different target audience. That's another format that you can use.
So have a hook on or an anchor to something already popular.
Exactly.
Makes it more clickable and make it more popular as a result also.
Right. Yeah. And then you want me to move on or?
Yeah. Okay. You're talking about what I was curious to know, what is a bad subject line? What is something that does not work?
So when you say the perfect camera app for selfies, something like that is just really bad. I mean, I could pull up some bad subject lines because I have the luxury of getting
people
pitched.
But what about it is bad? Like if I get a personal email, a perfect selfie stick, it sounds maybe a little promotional.
Yes.
But what is bad about it?
It's because it doesn't really say anything. Why is it perfect? So I always say, like, answer the reason why it's perfect. You know, just go straight into the why. Because a lot of times we try to be too clever with it, with the subject line, and it just doesn't go anywhere. And so I've had one where I'll even have subject lines that say app reviews, like please app review my app, or this app is launching. I'm like, what? Why do I care? Like, why do I care that your app is launching? What makes you different? So when I say the perfect camera app for selfies, it doesn't really tell you why it's unique. There's a ton of camera apps, but why is your particularly unique? And so I talk about, like, that's why it's a bad subject line. It's just, reporters, we all don't have enough time, right? Like I wouldn't say reporters only, they get a ton of emails, but we all don't have enough time. So if you're giving me some generic email that I don't know about, then I'm less likely to open that email.
I see. So making claims without actually substantiating it is a bad subject line.
Yeah, it's really. And then if it's just like new app, or if you say something like this will change the way we do whatever, it's, unless I know you, I'm probably not going to open it, because like who cares? Like everybody makes that proclamation.
Yeah. And one thing that I want to ask you regarding subject line is I'm sure you have tested. Probably also is, have you tested different subject line on your guest outreach?
I used to, but now I just use one blanket one, because now that we have a little bit of momentum, like we're close to 400 episodes in, I just say we'd love to interview you on @masters.co.
Okay. So what worked before when you're testing?
Before it used to be, I love app name. So I love Shazam. Oh, let me look up Shazam. So the biggest guest that I had, I want to pull this up real quick, was the first big one was Chris Barton of Shazam, the founder. And I found his email through LinkedIn. So I was just like, you know, going through LinkedIn. But that usually works, is when I say, hey, I love blank. I love your app. And that worked pretty well. And then let me see what I said with Chris Barton. Sometimes what I'll also do is I'll ask for referrals, especially when I just started going for a podcast. I would say, hey, if you know of anybody else that'd be a good guest, I would love an intro. So that works pretty well.
I really love experimenting with subject lines, because it's so easy to do, yet so few people do it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So here's what I use. Can I interview you on number one mobile app podcast? Was the subject line I used on Chris Barton. At the time, we weren't even number one, right? But I thought, like, because there weren't too many podcasts in the app space, I thought that the line would work. And so, and what I did was I used some social proof that I've done already. So I was a few episodes in. So that was a subject line. I said, hey, would you be open to doing this? Here's the people that I've emailed or interviewed already. And I name dropped a few. And then... blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So, And I wasn't at ranked number one at a time, so I took that screenshot and that's what I sent to him. I linked up the screenshot.
Good. I'll try that one.
Yeah.
As well. And I'll try different. So what worked for me was having the company name followed by their name. Let's say I interviewed Anand from Hunamakia. So I'll have Hunamakia hyphen Anand on the subject line. So there are two things related to them that got more opens than can I interview.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah. So I have to test out with the other ones. I have been using this format for months now. So it's time to test. And it's a good reminder that you said it. And on to the next point here. But I'm going to skip the next one and I'm going to get back to it. But I want to stay on email and go to your fourth point, which is the timing of the email. What is the best time to send the email?
Yeah. So we've done a few tests. And this is from a PR perspective. So I'm sure everybody has their own way of whether you're trying to reach out to influencers or podcast interviews, but from a PR perspective, found that Thursdays and Fridays around 11 a.m. Pacific time are the best times to open it, to send the emails. And if you want to do 11 a.m. any local time, that's probably better because what we found is that Thursdays and Fridays are less email inboxes, less people launching, and so less crowded inbox. And at 11, you catch them, like maybe they check their emails early on in the day, like most people do. And then now it's like, they've gone through a few already. So now it's 11. And it's like, okay, I'm about to head out to lunch, whatever it is. But we found that that is the best time. And if you're ever going to follow up, we like to follow up over the weekends, really less crowded. Then we're all checking emails, but it's really less crowded. And I try to make a quick follow up and then also include everything that I said in my initial email. So rather than just saying, hey, just following up on this, I say, hey, just following up this with this. And then I include everything that I included in the first email and just, you know, I just literally copy and paste. So that's my follow up email. I don't want them to have to scroll down and just say, what are you following up on again? I don't even know who you are, right? And so I say, hey, just following up on this. Here's the gist of why I emailed you again.
Yeah. It's a bit counterintuitive to think about sending an email on Thursday or Friday. As you said, everyone is winding down. So I would imagine that the response is lesser. But you also brought another good point, which is the competition is lesser as well, right? Which is what you're harping on.
Yes, yes. And most, from an app perspective, Apple refreshes their app store every Thursday, right? With new features and all that stuff. And so a lot of big companies are launching on Thursdays. So usually it's Wednesdays that they're going to start ramping up and they're going to start doing. So I like to focus Thursday late afternoon when the reporters already start to sort of done writing about their stuff. And then also Fridays are perfect then because it's like, you know, like they could breathe out a little bit because, you know, they just did a whole slew. So if you're launching an app, I do recommend if you don't have a lot of social proof, so you're not like Crossy Road, build it on another app, I would say launch on a Wednesday or a Friday or even a Monday. Like those are less busy than Thursdays are like the really busy day for app.
Right. Yeah. So basically the idea is to go to times with lesser competition, whether with email or launching your app or following up.
Yeah.
So we talked about how to track the emails and what to use in the subject line and the timing of the email. Let's get inside the email itself. What do you write in the email? How do you make a compelling copy?
So I actually have a template that we use internally because I don't like to think of it. Once I figure out a formula, I should probably do a better job of testing and trying out different formulas. And we have done that. But essentially, I like to lead with social proof. So make sure you say hi, person's name. That will do wonders. You don't know how many pitches I get from people who want to either be on the podcast or just reaching out that just say, hi there, or hello, editor. Like, come on. Like, you can do a little bit of research just to say, like, even if you said, hi, TechCrunch editor, like, that is a little bit so that I know that, oh, okay, you're emailing TechCrunch editors, like, tips at TechCrunch. And so first line, you should always personalize it. And if you can even take it one step further, like, hey, Rohit, I really loved your interview with Andrew Warner. Perfect. That's a great first line. And then the next thing I like to do is lead with social proof. And what does that mean from that is, I'll give you an example. So Fitman Cook, one of our most successful app launches, it hit number 2 under paid apps. This was a client of mine. He's still number 1 under paid health and fitness. But essentially we said, in collaboration with Kevin Curry, In collaboration with celebrity food blogger Kevin Curry, I put parentheses, 1 million followers on Instagram. Fitman Cook is launching, you know, it provides the one hack for sticking with the diet. So now I'm leading with why should you care right from the start, right? I'm grabbing you, being like, this guy has legitimacy. Now we're going to talk about why you should really care. So I try to lead with social proof, and then I give you the big hook. Whatever that unique selling point is, I lay that in the second paragraph. So lead with the social proof, hit you with the unique benefit, and then I break it up into bullets. So, you know, feature one, benefit one, feature two, benefit two, and then maybe if there's some more social proof that I want to add onto there, I'll add that onto three bullets. So I say, here's why you should care. I say, or here's why your readers will love this app, and put it into bullets. And I say, and the last thing I do is I try to get them to say an easy yes. So I just say, can I send you a bit more information about the app? It's going to launch in a few days. Can I send you a bit more information? Because a lot of people say, you know, can I send you a beta version, blah, blah, blah. Like, look, man, I don't want another app on my phone. And is it really cool? But can I send you a bit more information? Tends to work better, and say yes. So I can send them a promo code, or I can send them a press kit or more detailed description of the app. But I want an easy yes from them with that email.
Okay. Several points that I can take away from that. One is the leading with the first, starting with the social proof, leading with the hook, you said, right? What can you give an example of a powerful hook?
A powerful hook. So are you talking about the social proof? You're after the social proof, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So after the social proof, so I'll use Kevin, the Fitman Cook example again. We said, you know, we led with the social proof in collaboration with celebrity food blogger Kevin Curry, million followers on Instagram, right? Like I'm legitimizing him. And then I say, provides the one hack. So when you think about the hook, I try to think about the, you know, it's like content marketing. This is when I'm going back to my content marketing days. It's like the one hack. And you're like, okay, what is the one hack? The one secret, the one tool to that tripled my revenues. So people are very intrigued when you give them one thing. And the one thing to what I used for this was the one hack to sticking to a diet. And it was through constant, I was talking to the client, I said, you know, tell me about the app, blah, blah, blah. He's like, look, you know, the app has all these features. And he said, and it also has this feature where it allows you to plan, cook your meals for the whole week. So the recipes, all you're pretty much cooking for the whole week. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Cause I know, you know, it's hard to cook during the week, family, life, and everything else. I said, got it. That's the hook we're going to use. That's the angle we're going to use. And I said, it's the one hack. So, you know, through subject line testing, you can find your unique angle. But once you have that, you know, like it sort of gets back to why you're creating it. So like, why did you end up building this app anyways? Don't be so clever about it. But what was that unique feature that you saw in the marketplace that you thought other apps were not doing well? That generally is a good answer to what is the hook.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about the unique feature, you are not just focusing on the feature itself. Your template has feature and benefit, which is, I think, is essential as well.
Yes. And I try to put that in there because it's like you want the one hook on there. So people try to do too much with that hook. Like it's everything. No, that's why you have these bullets later on where you can talk a little bit more about the app. But talk when you're talking about really quick, the first couple of paragraphs, just get straight to the point of like what the real hook is, why you built this app.
Okay. I'll try to write down the different stuff that you mentioned here, but if anyone wants to get a hold of this template, is there a place in your website they can get it from?
Yeah, I'll send you the link. It's on App Masters, and it kind of walks through this Fitman Cook example and how I break down the subject line, how I break down the bullets, how I use formatting to my advantage as well. And so when I was talking about the hook with you, I try to break it up into its own line and then bold it. So I'm using like email marketing tricks too, right? Like you're trying to break up long sentences with short ones, and then I bold the short sentence. And so when I say, you know, it's a one hack to sticking to a diet, colon, I put it on a whole line itself, provides a week plan, blah, 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 whatever that hook is, I bold that. And so that it talks about the whole way of formatting a pitch email. I'll link it to you.
I see. Okay, I will put a link to the template in the show notes. So on to the next point. And this is the, we saved best for the last, I would say. This technique got you featured on TechCrunch, or got your apps featured on TechCrunch, Adweek, BGR. What is it?
Yeah, so it's the what I call the exclusive strategy. So it's where if you have a big announcement, or even if it's a decent announcement. So when we got on TechCrunch, I was still in corporate life, and we thought we were launching a feature. And we were like, okay, you know, it's a pretty big feature, but weren't really sure. And so I found the reporter that wrote about a little bit more about what we were doing in the space. And I said, exclusive to person's name, right? It's like back to what we're talking about, personalization. It's exclusive to Ha. And I said, here's the pitch. And so that's the way we've done it with a lot of these publications. I find the right reporter at the publication that I want to target. I build up a little rapport with them, either through following them on Twitter or sharing one of the articles and mentioning them on Twitter. And I just say, exclusive to Zach, exclusive to Rohit. Like, put that in the subject line and then go into, you know, that hook or whatever it is that you want to put in your subject line. But those words tend to do well. And it's a strategy I like to use when I feel like this is the big publication that we definitely want to be on. Right. And so with BGR and back to the 100,000 downloads over the weekend, we gave them the exclusive. I knew Zach at BGR. He covered a bunch of it. And I said, hey, Zach, this is exclusive to you. Would you like to cover it? And he covered it. And even with Ad Week, it was Brandy was a reporter. And I just said, this is exclusive to you, Brandy. Do you want to cover it? And they're more likely because then they know that they get to publish first, which means more traffic to them, which means nobody else is really going to cover it. And what you can do as an entrepreneur is after that article hits, then you can go out to different publications and possibly work a different angle or just say like, hey, we're just on this publication, or make your news. You can make your full outreach after that one hits, but that one needs to hit first. So if you give them the exclusive, make sure that article is published and then you do your other outreach.
Yeah, I would be worried if I were to go down the exclusive route, for example, because you would be eliminating all these other guys you feel like, right? But you're saying that you would never be in, let's say, TechCrunch if not for the exclusive strategy.
Exactly. Yes. I think a lot of people get greedy with that, right? Like, I want to be on TechCrunch, VentureBeat, the next web, the Engadget, but the likelihood that you will be on these publications is very small. So if I'm working with a client, I say, well, it's an okay launch. Like, here's what we're going to do. And like, no, we have to be on this one. So I say, okay, fine. Let's give them the exclusive. We'll use the connections that we have to get you publications, to get you write-ups after that exclusive hits. But that exclusive needs to hit. So
how long would it be exclusive for?
So like this strategy, you can give them a couple of days and then move on to the next publication. So in all likelihood, if you don't hear back, you can move on to VentureBeat. If you're working your way down, right? And you can go to VentureBeat, say, hey, look, exclusive to VentureBeat, and then work your way down for that. It doesn't always work, but when it does, it works like a charm.
Yeah, I mean, when you give someone exclusive, yep. Is it exclusive forever, or it's going, once, let's say, VentureBeat agrees, right? And you feature it there, and for how long you would not go to any other platform?
Exclusive just means that they have the first right to publish. So once their article goes up, then you can go up to the rest of the publications. And I try to find a different angle that I might work with that, right? If you're just saying like, we just raised angel funding, right? And so seed funding. So maybe you give TechCrunch the exclusive. And then for after that article hits, you can then go to VentureBeat and say, I'd like to try a different angle and say like, hey, you know, our app just launched. And by the way, we just raised 500,000, so to speak, right? That becomes less. So you can try different. I like to do different angles so that just doesn't sound like, oh, they just, TechCrunch just wrote about you guys. Like, what are you giving me the same news for? Right. So
try so to find exclusive angles. Doesn't mean exclusive. It's just the first launch of that news itself.
Yes.
Got it. Yeah. So if someone wants to learn more about PR for apps or more about your work, what is the best way for them to do so?
Yeah, if you want to learn more about just the app business and app marketing and app design, you just check out appmasters.co. And if you want to learn more about PR, there's a book that I really loved. It was written by a former TechCrunch writer. And I use a lot of the stuff in the book as well, but it was called I'll link it up in the show notes, but it was a great book and it was a short read. So I'll check the website And I'm going to put that into the show notes. I'll link it to you. But it was a great read too. But if you want to learn more about me, it's just appmasters.co.
Okay. There is, I was trying to do a little Google search with this few keywords that you said. Do you want me to try it? You said...
No, I have it. So it's the Burned Out Blogger's Guide to PR. It's by Jason Kinnaid.
Okay. Burned Out.
The Burned Out Blogger's Guide to PR. Yeah.
The name is very funny. Yeah. I won't read it.
It's a short read. Literally, I think I spent maybe a day at most reading it. I'm not a fast reader, but it was a lot of great actionable tips. And he talks a lot about, you know, when that Thursday, Friday was something I picked up from his book, some of the formatting tips. And, you know, I'm using a lot of the tricks that we know in the internet marketing space too, with the email tricks that they like to use. And so incorporating all that, I'm sure a lot of your listeners are more like internet marketing space guys. Yeah. So using some of the things that he talks about into your own space is going to be valuable.
Sure, I will link it out in the show notes as well. So what is the best place for people to connect with you, Steve?
Yeah, appmasters.co. I mean, that's where my website is. All my contact information is on there. If you want to check me out, I'm on Twitter, Steve P. Young, P as in Peter, because this 49ers guy has Steve Young. But yeah, so I always have to say Steve P. Young. Anytime I do a presentation, I have a little slide that talks differently about him because he's like 6'2", and I'm 5'7", oh, 5'6", probably. But he's a football player. I used to play badminton in high school.
I played badminton too in high school.
Oh, you really? Yeah.
Yeah, I played for my college.
Oh, nice. Yeah, nice. I stopped in college.
Yeah, this was back in India, though. And I was really passionate about badminton. I was considering going pro as well.
Wait, you were going to go pro?
That's yeah, I was considering between that and...
Wow, you must be really good then.
Yeah, we should catch up on badminton someday.
I haven't played in years, but yes, let's do it. I'm going to embarrass myself.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Rohit. Really a pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. And what a great tips from Steve. I'm going to use many of them in email outreach to potential guests. And I'm curious to know about you. What are you going to implement? Let me know. Reach out to me at rohit@breakingtheborders.com. You can let Steve know as well. And Steve's contact information will be in the show notes at breakingtheborders.com/Steve, STEVE. Thanks again and have a good day.